Hello, hello, and this is the Sleon Productions podcast where we interview authors, speakers, influencers that impact the world. It could be anyone from an 18-year-old trying to get to college or start his career to a person in his later stage in life. Sometimes you could start a little bit late, like the owner of KFC. He started at 65, didn't give up. Now KFC is the most popular restaurant in the world. Anyways, joining us today, I met this person on LinkedIn about a year and a half ago, and we just connected on LinkedIn right off the bat. And I think I got him to move to Miami and also to attend my church called Voo Church here in Miami. Alan D'Souza.
Hello.
Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Alan is an influencer. He's run through a lot of experiences, popular YouTube channel. His first day at VU, you bumped into someone that knew you from your past social media accounts. He started some new ones, but an amazing life, amazing story. I had one time we ate out together, and he told me everything, and I like to re-experience that in this podcast. So, Alan,
thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. Well, my name is Alan. I'm originally from Brazil. Getting a little older now. I'm 36, about to be 37.
Me too.
All right, let's go. So just kind of going back to, I think a good place to start is when we actually met. I was in a process. I was living in Connecticut, and I was praying, kind of like I was on a work trip, and I thought Connecticut was going to be my place to be for a while. And I actually had a dream, because God speaks to me a lot in dreams. And I had a dream of, I saw someone flying away on a helicopter. And I was like, I woke up that morning, and I was like, Lord, what does that mean? And God kept saying, it's time for you to fly away. And I'm like, okay, Lord, where am I going? And I just remember Miami just kept coming into my mind. Like, every other thought was Miami. In hindsight, back when I was 22, I was bartending at that time, and I used to come to Miami for vacations. And I remember the first time I landed in South Beach, I was like, one day I want to live here. And I'm originally from Rio, so being by the beach was something that I loved. But never, life happened, and it wasn't until now that opportunity came. So then I had the dream, and I was like, Lord, I don't know where am I gonna go in Miami or nothing. And then I remember going on LinkedIn, and I saw a message from you where you were offering me your services, because I do have a consulting business. And we started just having conversations. You know, I actually remember seeing your message, and I didn't respond. And then I had a dream, and then I went back to LinkedIn and saw your message. And in that message, I was like, okay, Lord. We started talking about business, and I was just got my certificate to become a life coach, and I was thinking about launching a life coaching fitness business, and we just decided to talk about building a website and things like that. But within the conversation, we were talking about God, and I don't know how God came up in a conversation, and you said, oh, I'm a Christian also. And then I was like, that's awesome. And then I just started telling you a little bit about myself, and we even talked about meeting up to have lunch when I came to visit. And then you mentioned your church, and that kind of like set up the groundwork for us to actually meet. So
yeah, I was really blessed when I heard his testimony. Alan has a whole lot of energy. You mentioned about fitness, something that if you go to his Instagram, he does a lot of fitness. You recently lost, what, like 20, 30 pounds?
35 pounds.
Yeah, 35 pounds, which was in a month, was that?
Pretty much a month I did it.
Interesting. So, but not just, way before that, he started a Zumba, Zumba gym. Tell us a little bit about your experience with that.
Yeah, so in my early 20s, just to give you guys, I came from Brazil, and at that time we had applied for my green card. And when September 11th happened, nothing was kind of on hold. So just like everyone else was waiting for their paper, I was doing all kind of under the table jobs and things like that. And I remember working I was bartending at the time, and someone invited me to go to a Zumba class, and I went in. And I always loved dancing. And then this lady was like, I think you should get certified because you're really good. And I'm like, oh, I said, okay. So I went, got certified. And the guy from the gym was like, I will give you a class at 8 p.m. at night. I'm like, bro, 8 p.m. I mean, here in Miami, 8 p.m. works because everything is late. But I was living in Scranton, Pennsylvania. So I'm like, 8 p.m., nobody's going to come to my class. But again, I was a newbie. No one knew me. So 8 p.m. showed up the first day, 4 people came. The next time, 5, 10, 15. This is all at 8 p.m. They got to a point where all the ladies that used to come to my class wrote the gym owner saying, like, listen, we're putting our kids to bed and then having to come to work out because this class is so late. We want to move this guy up. So the girl who actually influenced me to get certified was like, you know what? I'm going to give you my class at 6 p.m. And I think that began that my business kind of started in because my class went from 15 to 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. The gym owner blew up the wall to make the room bigger. I created another class called Brazilian Fit, and I was literally running through all Scranton, Pennsylvania, teaching everywhere, personal training, teaching classes. And one day I just was praying about it, and I kind of felt, I was like, you know what? I know I have the young generation in our city, and I know this other lady who had the older generation. I was like, listen, we're both working for everybody. Why don't we just do something for ourselves? And I think we can actually build something. So we came up with a studio. It was called Studio LA. Her name was Lisa, so Lisa and Alan. And we just literally opened the doors. And from the moment we started, it just went crazy. You know, by the grace of God, I mean, classes were always packed. But I always had I've always had a vision that was not my end. It was kind of something that I knew I needed to do. Because then by the time that I opened my business and my green card had came, I had my paper. So then I went to Penn State and I was doing as an adult student. I was like, I want to graduate quickly. So what can I do to focus on school but still maintain some kind of income? So opening the studio allowed me to go to school full time, train people in the morning, go to school, teach at night, you know. So for 3.5 years, because I graduated in 3.5 with a bachelor's in business, for 3.5 years, I was up at 4 a.m. every day, probably going to bed at 10 at night. But I knew that if I put in the work, that it would pay off in the end. And that's how I started my first business. And I was there I owned the studio for 3.5 years.
You mentioned your faith. I know it's a big part of your life, not just in personal, but also in business. Please explain, how'd you get so involved with your faith? How'd you found Jesus and so on?
Yeah, so that story, so going back, I did grow up in a faith-based home. My mom and my dad were Christians, but I grew up in a very, I grew up in an Assembly Pentecostal church, but the one that I lived in was super closed-minded. Like, we dressed certain ways, and God to me was more, I feel like I lived more of a religion. So you can't do this, you can't hang out with these people, you can't wear this, you can't listen to this, you can't watch this. And that was what I thought faith was. You know, I have to, there's all these do's and don'ts. But then at 22, I decided, you know what, this is not for me. I was battling things within me. And I said, you know what, Lord, I don't want this anymore for my life. And even not getting so personal, but when I was younger, what had happened in my life was I had suffered abuse from the age of 4 to about 12. And in that, kind of distorted my image of who I was. So when I reached about the age of 12, instead of me asking for help, I kind of internalized all that guilt and, you know, and self-guilt, and which in my teen year, up until I was 21, I was actually 265 pounds because food had become my comfort. You know, every time an abuse would happen, or every time I thought about things that, like homosexual things, anything like that, what I would do is I would run to food because I didn't have anyone else to talk to, and food was my comfort zone. You know, and then going hindsight in that, that kind of, even that distanced myself from God. So at 22, I decided, you know what, I can't live this lie anymore. You know, I'm gonna live my life. And at 22, I just left the church, I always loved God, but I never distanced myself from God in my mind, but I distanced myself from the church. And from the age of 21 to, well, I'm 36 now, to 21 to 34, I kind of literally lived my life thinking I was living my truth. You know, that's something we hear like, oh, that's my truth, you know, and my truth is very changes, but there's God's truth and what the society calls our truth, you know? And so I kind of lived my truth into 34. And at 34, I had an, I call it a Paul experience. You know, in the heights of all that, I had gotten into drugs. I mean, I literally had lost everything, bro. Like, I was living in Pompano Beach, Oakland Park, Pompano Beach area. Unfortunately, I got into meth. And I was at a rock bottom in my life. You know, the drugs had taken over my life. I had lost my job, the verge of losing my apartment, and basically injecting myself all the time with the drug. But in the silver lining about that is that one day I was sitting in my apartment, and I heard a voice, an audible voice, like I'm talking to you out of nowhere, that said, "I made you perfectly in your mother's womb, and the promises I have for your life still stands." And when I heard that voice, I thought I was going crazy. And I was like, who's talking to me? You know, and then I realized that it was God. And I knew that the life I was living was not the life that God had called me to live. And at that moment, I remember calling my mom and said, "Mom, God is real." I was like, "He just spoke to me. I want to come home," you know, kind of like the prodigal son. And my mom,
she was praying for you too.
She was.
Yeah.
So my mom, what she said to me, she goes, and the crazy part is, just this part too, is my mom was actually at home with her pastor. They were just like fellowshipping, and her phone was down, and it was me. She goes, "Oh, it's my son. I'm gonna answer later." And the pastor said, "No, you need to answer that phone right now."
Oh my gosh.
Because God had just spoken to me. I was so sensitive, and you know, when you realize you're doing something wrong, bro. And that's why I love the story of the prodigal son. When he realized he was about to eat the foods with the pigs, he turned around, and his father welcomed him with the open arms. And I felt like that I needed that my mom to answer that call, to assure me. And then when she answered, she goes, "I've been praying for the past 13 years. She goes, "Come on home." And in a matter of 3 days, my sister got me a plane ticket, went into a program up north in Connecticut. And for 8 months, I was just in there. And the biggest thing for me, so when God spoke to me, I thought it was about the drugs, bro. I was like, listen, you know, of course, drug is bad. God is real. I'm changing. And I remember like it was today. I was sitting in my apartment making my bag to actually go to the program. And I had worship music playing. And Tasha Cobb's song, "To Break Every Chain," came on.
Perfect song.
Right? And if you actually listen to her song from her, I think it's her first live album. In the middle of the song, she goes, "I want to pray against the spirit of homosexuality." And when she said that, bro, in that video, the Holy Spirit spoke to me again. God said in my heart, "I made you perfect in your mother's womb." And that was like, I think the first time a guy spoke to me was huge, but that one, I literally remember just breaking down and saying, "Lord, I don't understand what that means, but I just now, you took the veils off my eyes and I realized that I was actually living a lie. In that, Lord, I don't understand it. I'm still attracted to men. I've been doing, I don't know what this is, but if you said it, I believe it." And then when that happened, I went up to the north into a program. And when I got in there, God said to me, he said, "Alan, I want you to put your sexuality on a shelf. And I want us to focus on who Alan is and who I am." And in that 8 months, sex was out of the mind. No, Lord, sexuality is part of us, but it's not who we are. Mm-hmm. So for the 8 months, God started showing me who I was, how he created me. He started in the process of renewing of the mind. And it wasn't anything like, you know, I know there's a lot of things out there where people do like shock therapy, and it was nothing of that. It was just literally encounters after encounters with God, listening to the word, you know what I mean? Hearing God through people. And I remember when I left that program, you know, because when, especially when you're in a program, bro, it's like you're in this little box, you know, God is working in you, but life don't really start until you jump out of the box, because you're near your shield. That was in a Christian program, nothing was coming in, but as soon as you finish that and you go out to the world, that's when the test really began. Did everything that I planted in you is going to bear fruit from now on. And I remember leaving a program, crazy. So I left the program. I had 20, so I left that program a year and a half ago, right before we met. I left the program. I had my suitcase, 25 cents in my account, and I was homeless. I don't know what to do. And I remember sitting in front of a library. And I still had my, because when I went to the program, I still had my laptop. And so I just opened my laptop in the library. It had 30 minutes free Wi-Fi. So I was like, okay, let me get in this Wi-Fi. I was like, who can I reach out to for help? You know, and because of the drugs and the things that I have done, I had put my parents through enough that there was no way my parents could take me in at that situation. I was like, you know what? I can't do this to my parents. So I got on a laptop, called a friend, and she said, Alan, I was like, hey, I'm sorry to reach out to you, but this is my situation. I'm homeless. Within an hour, she connected my phone, got me a bus ticket back to Scranton, Pennsylvania, where I actually lived most of my life. Got me a bus ticket, got me a place to stay with a friend of us. That's all within a couple hours. So I go into her place, and I went online. I was like, you know what? What can I do to restart my life? And so I went back to fitness. We were like, whole thing about Zumba. I was like, you know, maybe I can do like a Christian Zumba class, and I can do something with fitness. And I remember sitting in my apartment. I said, okay, I'm going to go on live Facebook today. When you mentioned about my success in fitness and my other Instagram page, when before all this happened, I was, because of my business, I had a big YouTube account and I had a big social media account where kind of that was my business. You know what I mean? That's how I kind of promoted my stuff, which got people to invite me to go to places and build my influence. And when I went into the program, I remember God saying, like it was today, he said, I want you to delete everything. And bro, and I was so sensitive. Okay, I deleted my Facebook, YouTube page, everything.
So how many followers did you have?
Like, I think Instagram, like over 8,000. YouTube, I had videos that had like 500,000 views on them, you know, and God said, I want you to delete everything. So I was obedient, deleted. So when I got out of the program, I had to create a new Facebook, and I just started adding people. And I created, and I was like, okay, I'm going to launch this fitness thing, bro. I created all my, I understand about technology, but I'm not tech savvy like you. You're like, that's why you need people like you to help us, because I was not tech savvy, but I did what I could. So I remember logging into Facebook Live, and I was like telling my story. I said, listen, guys, I know I'm back in Scranton. This is what happened. I did drugs, but you know what? I just want to start making money, figure things out. If you want me to personal train you in the streets, you know what I mean? We can run up the streets and do lap. I can train you. Here's my phone number. Reach out to me. And brother, I remember when as soon as I logged off, I got a message on my message on Facebook. In God divine moment, somehow my boss from the company that I used to work for was on Facebook. Out of everything in the world he could have been doing, he was on Facebook at that time, on my Facebook, and he watched my live video. And he said, you came out like a phoenix. He's like, and I believe in second chances, and I would love to give you another opportunity. So I did that thinking like, I'm gonna go back into fitness, but God had other plans. Cause I also have a consulting business, but because my consulting business went under because of my drug use, I never thought I could actually go back into that. You know, especially in the medical field, it's a small community in hospice. So it's like, I don't know if anyone will ever, I mean, I left with a bad reputation. But when God does something, he does it fully. And when God restores someone, he does it all the way, you know? And he's like, you know, Alan, I would love to give an opportunity. I got one day of work. And I was like, amen, brother. When you had 25 cents in your account, one day, it's good. And then from that, my business just kind of started getting more and more work, which led me to come to Miami. So
yes. And you know, once I met him and I heard the story, it changed my life. It was very, very profound. Let's go back into your weekly videos, I believe you do, and I believe you still call it Let's Talk About Jesus.
Yeah.
You restarted your social media campaign, I would like to call it. Tell us about that and how has it been like lately?
Yeah, so I had as you guys can tell, I talk a lot. I'm a talker. So I knew that ever since I was in a program, God started giving me dreams and visions. And, you know, especially when you're new to faith, God starts to like show you different spiritual gifts and different things you're good at. And I always knew that I love to talk. So when I left, when I moved to Miami, I was like, Lord, I said, what can I do? And I felt God saying, I want you to start a podcast. And I was like, Lord, I have no experience on podcasting. And that's when I reached out to you and you helped me get my mics, my cameras. You came over, helped me launch everything, which was so good because I had no idea, you know. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do it. I have no experience. I don't even know what to do. And God was like, I will show you the way. So I started, I think I'm on my, this week will probably be my 26th episode. And I remember launching the podcast. And the moment I did that first one, it was so intense. And I was like, wow, that felt so great. I did it. But I did not realize what God was doing then, but I do now. God was teaching me how to first to speak publicly, and two, because I was actually praying on my way here about our podcast, and God was showing me a vision of something that I've actually asked God not to become, and where there is a lot happening in our society today, where there's a lot of people who have influence, but they're talking the talk, but not really walking the walk. You know, and when they get to heaven, they're going to have this beautiful resume of what they have done on the earth, but yet they never lived by the standards that they were speaking, you know. And I've been very adamant about, say, Lord, whatever you decide to do with this podcast, with my life, I don't want to just talk the talk. I want to walk the walk. Do you know what I mean? Because when that day comes and I get to heaven, I want God to say, I knew you. Not just what you did, I knew you as a person. So when that prayer, then God started to do. So God would give me a word, I would preach it on that podcast, bro. The moment I hang up, everything that I just preached, I had to live it. So then if I'm telling you to have faith and be encouraged that week, I would go through so many trials that my faith and encouragement was tried because I was talking the talk, but I had to walk the walk. And that is how you become a man or a woman of authority, is that when you're actually able to say, you know what, I'm not just talking this, but I've actually walked it, you know. And that's what my podcast has been. It's been a season of learning whatever God puts in my heart to share it. Sometimes I live it the week before and then I'm able to share that week, or sometimes I get a fresh word from God and I go, because I'm very enthusiastic person, I go on and preach it, and then 2 days later I'm like, I gotta go watch my own video, bro, because I'm going through the same thing I just preached. So it's been like that journey. It's super small. I don't have a lot of followers, but one thing that God always places in my heart, he says, don't despise small beginnings, you know, and keep being faithful to what I've given you. And don't worry about how many people, because there has yet to been a podcast that I've recorded that I've gotten one person who said, hey, that was for me. And God talks about there's one soul for God is more than anything else. Do you know what I mean? So that's always been my philosophy now, because before, again, I was just like everybody else, doing all this promoting stuff and thinking about doing paid promotion and all this stuff. But God has been very, at least for my ministry, God has been very adamant about, like, you know what? I want you to keep it simple. I want you to just do the bare minimum in a sense of self-promotion, because the spotlights, it will hit all of us. And when it does for my life, or whatever level God will take, all the glory will be his. It wouldn't be like, Alan did it, because it was all be like, you know what, it was a God thing, you know, so.
Which you do the podcast both in English and Portuguese.
I do. Well, I was doing it in Portuguese, but it became a lot. That's when I was just in English. I've been doing just the podcast, and I also been, I don't know, like, God, this desire to do fitness again. Do you know what I mean? So even in that, bro, you can't just talk the talk. You got to be able to walk the walk. So I created a YouTube series called Getting the Best Shape of My Life. And each week I am sharing how I am getting in the best shape of my life. There is no, it's not a linear process. You know, there's its ups and downs. And I feel like what I want to share with is help people understand, become the full version of who God created them to be. And in the end of every video, I still do an appeal, because I feel like I have an evangelistic call. I do that on my podcast, and even in my fitness video, I always end with, if you don't know Jesus, he died for you. And I always try to do that to kind of bring people back, because I feel like I'm starting to live my purpose and my dream. Because before God allowed me to be out in the world, even work on my exterior, he had to do an internal healing. And that's my hope, is that people will surrender to God and understand that if they're willing to allow God to do the work inward, then he'll be able to, you'll be able to live the outward life with Christ in much fullness.
I know this is a little bit impromptu, but if a person is interested, if you do provide any type of like health consulting or any type of exercise, do you do that? Or if you did, what's the best way to reach you?
No, definitely, yes. Yeah. So I've been, I did get my life coaching license because my other business also has been taken off. I haven't really been doing it, but what I would say is I do have my YouTube channel. Hopefully you can share the link and my Instagram where you can reach out to me. And I believe one thing that I prayed about God was said, I read it in a message Bible, it says about being a container where God can put anything in and bear fruit. You know, and I've seen that in my life. I love fitness, but I don't put myself in a box. I've always said, Lord, what can I do for you today? Like, what mission do you have for me today that you can use me as a container? So whatever you put it into my box, it will bear fruit. You know, so if you're struggling with fitness, with identity, if you're struggling trying to find out to hear from God, do you know what I mean? That is something that God has given me, the gift of wisdom, the gift of encouragement, you know, and if you're looking for help, definitely reach out. We're not in this alone. We're in this life together. And I think every time I've done this, help someone, that automatically help myself. And I think I always say that the story is the same, just the characters that change, you know. And when you have lived a life of a lot of ups and downs, whatever you're going through, brother, either I've already been through it or I've already heard someone who's been through it. So I would love to encourage you, help you, and hopefully maybe do something together. So
amen. And what is your Instagram username and your YouTube?
Okay, it's my Instagram is BR Allan USA, Bralanusa, Brazilian Allan USA. And my YouTube channel, I don't have, because again, I don't have a big following at all.
Yeah, so you're limited.
It's one of those like real long, it's like.
But yeah, like if you search Allan D'Souza.
Allan Souza, I would say Allan okay. Souza, and then put Let's Talk About Jesus podcast. And you'll be able to find videos there, you know, to encourage you. And
he pronounced it right. I never heard you pronounce your last name. It's D'Souza.
Souza, yes.
Okay. I said D'Souza. I don't know why, because maybe I listen to a lot of the British commentators when they pronounce Brazilian soccer players.
Yeah.
Okay, one more time, bro. Allan USA on Instagram.
Yes, B-R Allan, A-L-L-A-N USA on Instagram.
Great content, fitness, spiritual stuff, and also health stuff. Definitely encourage to follow Allan. He's been a great great person to meet this past year and a half, and really blessed. And I really appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. It was my first podcast, so
I can't believe there's even more. There should be. We'll get you on more probably.
Let's go.